So would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, my name is Christian, and I'm in One Eskimo.
I'm Adam. I'm also in One Eskimo.
You caught a really lucky break when you were really young, didn't you? Like 16 or 17?
I'd say it was... I think we've all been lucky. I mean, our guitarist now lives in England, and he's been able to kind of, he's had a career in music, which is what he set out to do. And I think that's the kind of same for the rest of us. You know, I think we all kind of got involved in the industry at a young age, and it's it's difficult to keep a career in that. And I met my publisher when I was 16. I was probably in the studio from when I was like 14. And things have happened through the years after that. Really, I think there's been some big changes and some really great things happening, and some difficult things happening. I suppose it's just a journey. Really.
In 2003, Polydor signed Christian for a cool million, and were originally going to market him as a sort of boy band Brit trapper, but instead pushed him as a male dido towards a Radio 2 audience, and he was miserable as sin. Things are better now, I would take it.
I mean, again,
that's from The Guardian. That's a quote.
A quote. Let me tell you, I've got no million dollars, and I never had no million dollars be given to me. I think people write what they want, and I think at the time I was much younger and signed to a very pop label in the UK, and through that came, some good things and some bad.
You had like what, a number 32 hit though, right, or something like that? I mean, it was on the Beeb and it did go places. So
the single, we had a couple of singles in number 9 or so, and album at number 10, and British charts, and that was quite good. But I mean, it's not good if you're not where you want to be. And the way that you wanted to have got there, if I had have been given $2 million or whatever it says there, I mean, it still wouldn't have been right for me, because it was not the right way of getting there.
I think we'd all worked with major labels in the past in various different things, and I think having done that, you know what the good points and the bad points are, and so we were a lot sort of more equipped to make a decision about who we wanted to go with, and what direction we wanted to go with on that side of things, when we came to a point where we wanted to kind of get One Eskimo signed. So that kind of that helped.
On one hand, you're always torn between stuff that you think, I think your reasons for doing stuff are different. I think there can be equally good ideas from both sides, but I think our reasons for doing stuff as a band and as musicians are very different from a company that are trying to kind of market you, really. I know what to do with that now at this age, and you kind of have a different kind of respect for that, and kind of where to kind of draw the line and say no, and you know what kind of stuff that you want to kind of work towards. And I think at a much younger age, it's really difficult to work that out. And you've got a lot of people around you that are very much kind of putting you in what you find is really awkward situations. And I think you can't promote an album if you feel awkward. You can't do TV show, you can't do a radio interviews. If you feel awkward and you're not comfortable, then that comes across in all of that.
And I think actually, knowing that they're not always right as well, I think it's easy to believe that they're, that with all the experience and the wealth of knowledge of a major label, that the decisions they make are going to be correct. But yeah, again, as you kind of get older and wiser, you realise that that's not always the case. And so the fact that you can say no to things is probably a big thing.
It's just a case by case basis, really. I think it's looking at everything we're doing and thinking, what are we doing? We love being on tour. We love doing these shows. But mainly I love writing music and spending my time in a studio. And I think ultimately, to have a career in that, there's other things you need to do, and we need to get on the road, and we need to do big shows, and we need to progress as a band, and we always need to be looking forward, and all these things you kind of learn along the way, really. People love music. People love music for so many reasons, but then when there's kind of marketing and big budgets involved in stuff like this, people are kind of very limited to what they're listening to, and they're listening, all they get to listen to is the stuff that kind of has the money behind it, for you to hear, you know, it has that kind of push for to get bands on the road, and you know, financially, I think it's just a big thing. A marketing campaign is so important, whereas it's a shame that it is, because I think you know, music should definitely stand up for itself. I mean, we spent a long time writing this album, and every song on there, it was on there because we wanted, you know, we completed it. We may have had 50 so tracks you start from, but you finish the ones that kind of really mean something to you, and lyrically you finish off them songs, and you want people to hear them right across the album. You don't want them just to hear it for whatever reason it's attached to this program that they send. I mean, although that stuff's great, but really ultimately, I mean, you know, the radio support we get is great, but ultimately we write the songs because we want people to hear them, and we play as a band, and we want people to come out and see that. And I think it's really strange. I mean, it's a difficult thing for us to deal with as a band, because I think how we look at things as opposed to a marketing team is very different.
Yeah, and the irony is, of course, that I'm interviewing you way after the other commercial stations in this town did it, but the timing is purposeful. Because when Michael called me up, I said, you know, this is a good time to do it, because they've been through the people that have played the single in heavy rotation, and they're on the other side of that. So it's more important to me not to talk about that, because you know what? Everybody's heard the single in heavy rotation on the other radio stations in this town and every other major town. So now it's more interesting to move forward, right?
I think we want to move forward as a band anyway. I think we've been on the road kind of supporting some really nice acts over the last year, and it's like I said, I think we want to progress as writers. We want, you know, we spent such a long time on that first album, and we want the second album to be better. You know, we want our show to carry on, you know, getting better. And I think that we've just got to kind of look at that, really. Every time you kind of get blinded by all the other stuff that's going on, all that's doing is stopping us from doing what we should be doing and progressing. That's progression as a band, you know.
I think we feel like we've made a really good start, but it is, you know, hopefully it's very much a start. And, you know, having the rotation of Candy has been brilliant for us, in that it's bringing people along to shows, and that we're able to sort of show everybody what the rest of the album is, and, you know, what we're doing, and, you know, sort of show a bit more about us as a band.
I mean, I think every song on the album, it was started in a different day, and each day there's a completely different mood. So every song on that album, for me, there's a lot of kind of light and shade, and everything's different. It's not kind of, we haven't got Candy and there's nothing there. I'm proud of the rest of the album. We want people to hear it. And, you know, we don't want people just to hear the single. Obviously, that's great to have that support. But, you know, there's so much on there that we're proud of that, you know, we want people to get into the album and experience the album, you know. Not just the single that we're given.
You know what? It's okay, because if it gets people in, and you know, I'm forgetting the word marketing or device or whatever. If you've got, you know, there are tons and tons of bands that I can tell you, you know, they either have that and they go away and they don't have the whole vision. And I've seen, you know, I've seen both, or they don't have it. You know, they're searching for that single and they can't find it, and they you know, and that's where it gets trickier.
I think the weird thing is the singles are the ones that seem to kind of, and I wouldn't even say, I think, you know, I spend a long time writing songs, probably ridiculously long, especially now, knowing that, you know, if you want to get it right, you want to make sure that don't find yourself a year down the line saying words that don't mean anything to you. I think, you know, I spend a long time trying to do that, but the ones that seem to fly out are the ones that have become singles. Yeah. It's really strange.
I mean,
like that.
It comes from the kind of reptilian part of the brain, I think. It comes from, yeah, it's often the most spontaneous idea, or the thing that comes to you first, is very often the best idea. And with playing instruments, we're coming up with musical ideas.
So people can read the bio, okay? They can read that you. I'll read you the things that are in the bio that I'm not going to ask you. That you started, you know, with programming, but you wanted live sounds, and you added live sounds, right?
Well, I think it was a mixture of quite a few things. Some of the sounds started out with just programming these kind of really delicate sounds, and some of it was kind of live. I think there was no rules. I think every song was different. We were trying to experiment with samples. We wanted the core of the album to be a live band, you know, four people on stage and four people recording an album as a four-piece band. You know, that's what we set out to do. But I think there are no rules. All the samples and kind of, you know, what we are I suppose we were just kind of, we knew the sound that we wanted to aim, that we were aiming for. But you know, like I said, we're always adding to Adam's drum kit and kind of what everyone's doing on stage. We're always trying to add to it, just to carry on developing.
Lots of toys. Even tonight, where you're playing, to say it's a compact stage would be the understatement of the year. When I walked in, I thought, oh my gosh. You know,
it's so strange how every show's so different. I mean, yesterday we were in Spokane and the stage was this massive stage with big screens by the side of us, and then we come to San Francisco, which we've been here a few times now as well.
Yeah, but so you've played a lot of different places here too.
A lot of different places over the last year and a half. I mean, we toured with Tori Amos last year, yes, which got us onto to the Greek Theater and City, and then we've played, what was the venue in San Francisco? We played a little bar venue.
There was one Fox Theater, didn't you? Yeah.
There was one here, though, we played to like four people a year ago. It kind of got more kind of down the town, as you come over the bridge. But literally, we've played some big venues down.
So much for the marketing and everybody's perception reality, right? That's
four people really enjoyed it.
But you know what? But I can tell you that I've been at shows with big bands on certain nights, and you know, look at the line tonight, right? You know, this is going to be a pretty packed club, and you know, and they're going to be excited because they do get that close. You know,
we've always been really pleasantly surprised that we've turned up in so many places around the country that we previously hadn't heard of the name of the place, and then you turn up there and you've got people there to see you, and again that all comes from many things.
I don't think a show is judged on how big the audience is anyway. I think we had a show in Portland the other day where people were just so, the audience were just so good, and I think it's, you know, them intimate gigs, I think it's, a lot of us on stage play with our eyes closed anyway, so I think, you know, it's kind of more how it feels. If it feels right, then you have a good gig. I think that could be in a small venue or it could be in a massive venue. I think it's more dictated just to if everything feels right and if everyone's playing right at the time, you know.
Exactly. Okay, I'm going to test your memory, because the lore goes that the way that you got to the Candy Staten track is that you were just listening to music in the studio and that you had a song. Oh, so let's see if anybody remembers. Do you remember any of the other records that you were listening to prior or after, before you kind of settled in on that one?
I remember there was this Gladys Knight record we were listening to.
So were you listening purposefully because you knew what the meter and what the song was like?
You
weren't listening to Simply Red, I take it, holding back the ears.
Well, funnily enough, I think we'd started to experiment with samples, and we were quite a way through the album, and we were starting to experiment with samples, and we met this guy Rollo Armstrong who kind of opened his studio doors and got involved in the project, and I think it was just sitting there, you know, having a kind of leisurely day with him, really, and just talking about where we're going, and he, you know, us all playing kind of records of that we like, and then him playing records of ideas of sounds that he's heard that he really liked, and the Candy Staten sample that came from him playing this record and saying, you know, I've always just loved this loop, you know, let's see if you can do anything with it, and then we took it away, and then Candy came.
Who would have known? I mean, what if you had picked Ben by Michael Jackson, you know, or I mean, who knows where it could have gone, right? No, but I mean, seriously, you never know, right?
We've got the second album to
do Ben by Michael Jackson.
I've written that down. We'll get back to you on that.
I mean, we're loving where we're going with the writing more stuff. I mean, like I said, we've been a band for longer. I think we have a better understanding of each other while we're writing music and on stage as well, so it feels nice moving on to the, you know, kind of writing new material. It feels like a you know, it feels like we're progressing. It doesn't feel like we're kind of lost for ideas at all. It feels like we definitely kind of have got more ideas, you know.
Well, you're a working band, and there are a lot of bands that would die to work.
Yeah, totally, totally. And we've all got friends who are, you know, amazing musicians who, you know, aren't out touring all the time. So you've got to, you know, we always say that, you know, we need to enjoy this as much as we can. And it's impossible to take in everything that's kind of, you know, everywhere that you are and everything that's happening. And often it'll be nice to stay a little longer in places to really kind of experience more of the place. But on the plus side, we're coming back to cities now quite often and knowing where we want to go and sort of, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of, you know, it feels good that we really kind of know America pretty well now, I think.
The other thing that really is cool, and I, you know, probably Ellen DeGeneres has something to do with this, but I'm looking at the line here, right? And I saw 21-year-olds, and I saw people my ancient age. And in the end, that's a pretty cool thing when you think about it, right? So having someone like her, you know, and again, she's not a typical talk show host, right? She's opinionated. She's got all sorts of things in her life that she's dealt with. So she might be, if you're going to pick somebody to love you, you know, that's probably a pretty hip person to do it, right?
We could have worse friends, definitely. That's for sure. And it's great we're going back on there again.
Yeah, the 21st, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's brilliant.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs is the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between. And